The following is a Feltnout production. To find out more, visit feltnout.co.uk.
Well, this podcast is going to punish you.
What?
It's one of the lines from one of the songs that we're discussing today, you see?
All right, yeah. That was good.
Right at the end.
So I was a bit worried because we've just been talking about me mug, so I'm not going to mention the mug.
Let's not pull that thread. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to O Vienna Podcast, the podcast that isn't just about pop music. I'm Lee Kyle.
I'm Bonnie Little Kia Kyle.
Are you Bonnie?
I'd like to think I am.
Well, you are Bonnie. We'll talk about that in a bit, actually. It's got my attention this week that you are Bonnie.
I am.
Bonnie is a local colloquialism meaning pretty or attractive or cute. Cute, more cute, innit?
I'd say it's like it's a cute sort of... It's like, oh, grab your cheeks, oh, you're Bonnie. You know, you're a Bonnie lad.
It's more cute,
Bonnie
lad, isn't it? Yeah. It's more cute, yeah.
It's too friendly to be sexy.
So, this is O Vienna Podcast, a podcast about songs that got a number two in the charts, and we discuss whether or not they should have got a number one by comparing them to the song that did get a number one, but it's about songs that peaked at number two. So if it got a number two and then later got a number one and had beaten number one previously, it doesn't count, which is why we've never done Joe McKeldry versus Rage Against the Machine.
It would be nice though, festive, but
we can't because bloody McKeldry reached the top of the charts.
Yeah, he kept trying, didn't he? And he now, kept fucking trying.
Yeah, and now lives round the corner from your nana with his mum.
He's got a camper van.
Yeah, that's all of his vans are camper vans. Because he's a homosexual, see.
Good,
but he is camp, to be fair.
He is. It's not even.
So for those who it's the first time, Kier is my son.
Hello.
So it gives it a lovely dynamic.
I didn't pop out of you though.
No, because I am a gentleman, and also it wasn't my spunk. I am a stepdad, which is the best type of dad, really.
Yeah, you call a stepdad because I walk all over you. Come on.
That's not bad.
It's all right, isn't it? There's something there.
See, so he's a quick-witted, cute, bonny young lad.
Oh, I am bonny, thank you.
And later on in this episode, we'll be talking about one of the more famous, perhaps the most famous battle for the charts this century.
Fucking hell.
Bexter Ellis versus Spice Posh. All the way back in August 2000. A great time for all. Except me, I was working in Morrison's. And
I don't remember, I was about a year old.
It wasn't great. 9/11 hadn't happened yet, so we're just waiting for something to happen. You know?
It was like the middle ground between my birth and 9/11.
Yeah.
Whenever there's a link there.
I think there is a link. I think you made the world slightly more rageful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we'll see. Maybe it's dependent on who got number one. And whether or not we can change that.
Perhaps bloody Spiller featuring Sophie Ellis Bextor is the cause of all these problems.
Yeah, maybe if we surprises.
Maybe if we change this, we'll go back and like the towers will still be up.
Fuck, but there's another one there
Tony
now.
Tony Blair will still be popular.
No, the two of them would fit in because they've got the big holes.
But they wouldn't
in the
have made the other one,
like
would
the
they?
Monument. No, but like that's
you've
what I mean.
That place,
maybe they suddenly pop in.
You'd be at that museum. Are we being too lighthearted about the events of 9/11?
I'll be honest, with being autistic, I didn't really feel much when I was there. Like, it was interesting, but it's hard for us to gauge the atmosphere.
But did you have an outward display of respect?
I wasn't boisterous.
That's good. That's all I can ask. Learned behaviour.
For young me was quite impressive.
That's what you have to do if you're autistic, don't you? Sometimes learn behaviour rather than just have feelings and that.
I've just sort of got to sort of guess what I should be doing in situations. No. As
although you do have some feelings, like you've still got a vague feeling of confusion over the last episode where you surprisingly plumped for David Cassidy over T-Rex.
Yeah, I really don't know what happened there. Yeah. I panicked. I said one name. I should have said the other.
Do you think we really secretly mean T-Rex, but it's too late now?
I wouldn't feel comfortable taking it back. But just know David Cassidy, I'm not the supporter you think I am.
The late David Cassidy. Perhaps that's how he died.
Yeah, it doesn't mind. Like, it's T-Rex.
They're both dead, though.
Like, obviously, we won't rewrite the chart now. I feel it's too late for that. But just knowing my heart, T-Rex.
Yeah, but then your heart has let me down. Like my heart has because of weight gain. By the way, I've genuinely got to check on my heart tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see how ill I am.
Oh, that'll be a fun update for...
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Well, it
won't be next episode because, like... I'll be honest, we record them the same day.
Yeah, it's the magic of behind the headphones.
But if these don't come out, I've died.
Oh, that'd be a shame, wouldn't it? I wouldn't be able to carry it on by myself, so it would just sort of end abruptly. I wouldn't say anything to you either, because I'd probably, you know, I'd be too busy mourning and that.
You don't have the passwords.
That's true. Yeah, and that. I'll be honest, you guys on the top list of priorities if Lee dies.
Not immediately.
I think years afterwards, but for a good month.
For a month, probably. It would be a bit of a shame, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So if you want to support me on my deathbed, go to patreon.com/feltnout, where you get these episodes first, plus loads of other stuff. And, we as may not know, it's because I'm assuming you know, but like that's arrogant, isn't it? It's the world's only comedian-led community interest company/cooperative. We do loads of work for charity, but we do like to talk about it. So go there, help out what we do. You get this episode first, plus you get bonus content and a million other things.
A million! Yeah,
including tickets for shows that have gone out this week and things. Lots of stuff. Lots of stuff, lads.
Just fucking loads, man. Come on, loads.
So before we get into this episode, let's talk about how I know you're Bonnie.
Oh, I am Bonnie.
So, Kia.
Hello.
Like, you are... Like, it's hard to say, isn't it? But, like, you can say with using your autism based on the response you've traditionally got in public, you are a handsome boy.
The general consensus is that I'm chiseled from the gods.
No, is that the general
consensus? Me face, anyway. You know, my face is. Not today, because I haven't shaved, but you don't know that. I might look lush.
Even as a little boy, you grew up being told you are... a bonny lad.
Oh, every fucking cashier.
Yeah, like it was boring. Shot at me
like, we'll break a few hearts, won't
it? Was
and
boring.
I do, I'm horrible to women.
He's not actually, he's like he's Van Halen, but he's actually a little square who likes to make house with a regular girlfriend.
I'm Alice Cooper. He's been married to the same person since the 80s.
So. You are, you're very like Alice Cooper to me. So,
oh, thank you.
What have you been doing lately, Kia?
So I've just been going out on nights, you know, enjoying myself, having fun. And went to a new bar. Billy Bootleggers has opened up on the Usburn. Bit of advertisement for them there. I was dressed very silk shirt, leather pants, you know, 70s style.
Yeah.
So me and my friend were like, all right, let's do a bet. Every time someone comes up, like an older woman comes up to compliment me style, we'll have a shot.
Imagine the arrogance of assuming that was going to happen. But then,
well, it wasn't my idea, so that does make it better, but... I was like, yeah, it
absolutely
will.
So they've been around and they've seen this happen a lot.
Yeah. It's a frequent thing on nights for us. People will just sort of wander over and start conversation, which is, it's great for me. I've never had to approach a woman. I've always had them approach me. I'm like a magnet.
Oh, God, it's fucking
a chick magnet. Like the Miz.
Remember
the Miz had a chick magnet? Anyway,
it's wrestling. It's fucking loathsome, this, isn't it, as an anecdote?
But by the time we even got to the bar... three people had already came up, like three various old women, and about an hour later we were into double digits, so we're like, what, let's stop this, let's just bother.
What ages are we talking? Because you're 23, right?
I'd say between the ages of 45 and 62.
That is... What are they saying? Is there a sense that that's sort of coming on to you? Are they just like, ooh, there's a young man dressed like the past?
It's hard to tell, because some of them are quite a few wines down, but... a lot of people said I look like Mick Jagger.
Then you don't look anything like Mick Jagger.
Another person said, ooh, I bet you like the Doors. I was like, all right.
I hate the Doors.
And then another woman was like, ooh, you know, you look like Mick Jagger and Harry Styles. And I went, oh, I've just had someone say I look like Jim Morrison. She went, no, not Jim Morrison. So I'm glad there's debates within the community.
Within the seedy older women community. Yeah. You look like Jim Morrison after that bath. So speaking of sexy older women, I mean, they weren't that much older at the time, but like now they are.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Spillers, Groovejet brackets if this ain't love, and True Steppers featuring Dane Bowers and Victoria Beckham with Out of Your Mind from August 2000.
Woo! You're out of your mind. Gonna make this really easy.
I'm
for you.
I'm out of my mind.
I'm gonna show you I'm not crazy. Boy, you're wasting my time.
I'm not wasting your time.
You're out of your mind.
You're out of your mind.
Out of your mind.
While we are moving, the music is soothing. Troubles we thought had bigger. If you say love, feel down. Why does it feel down? Why does it feel down?
Right, Kia.
Hello, mate.
We're back. We're back. I'll talk a little bit about this chart battle and a couple of the background things, because I'm guessing you will know who Sophie Ellis-Bextor and Victoria Beckham are.
Sophie Ellis-Bextor was the Vera Lynn of the lockdown, wasn't she?
She was. Oh, God bless her. I loved lying on the chaise lounge listening to the kitchen disco. God bless Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Symbol for hope, wasn't
yeah.
it? Symbol
Lots for... of kids running around, you know, lovely bit of business.
I mean, the kids were the worst part. I would have just preferred to see her.
Yeah, and for someone who's
not me, sorry, to know.
For someone who's had six kids with the same man, my word, they all look very different to each other.
It's showbiz.
That's showbiz, Sophie. That's showbiz. And obviously, you know who Victoria Beckham is. She is famous. Do you know who? There's no reason you should know True Steppers or Spiller. They were more like producers and stuff. They weren't famous in that
I've
time.
Heard of them both, yeah. but I couldn't tell you anything about them.
Do you know who Dean Bowers is?
Not a fucking clue.
Okay. I don't want to bias you. Because it's about the songs, this. But Dane Bowers was in Another Level, who were a boy band of the time. But a sort of more, slightly more R&B boy band. They did, "Cause tonight, baby, I'm gonna get freaky with you."
Oh, fuck yeah.
That's Dane Bowers. He'd had a hit not long before this with Buggin', which was with True Steppers, which was sort of similar-ish. And he's referenced in this song, which I always quite like. But it does seem a bit like... Dane Bowers, you're not the star in this. Like, once you do a song with Posh Spice, no one's going, "I do, but Dane Bowers, you're very much a featuring." You can't, like, go, "Yeah, we're the same."
It's what not. Does Posh Spice get up to these days?
Fashion. Fashion and
fame. Fashion one.
She's fashionable. She has a fashion line and she's famous. That's what she does now. She hasn't brought out songs for a long time.
Yeah.
And she has a rocky marriage, a rocky tabloid marriage.
Oh, they're the best marriages in the world. They're always the fun ones.
He'll have a phase with Rebecca Lewis and that.
I'm really sad that, like, genuinely, I wish Kim and Kanye were still together, because it was always nice seeing how shit that was going for them.
Yeah. Dane Bowers has been showbiz couple as well. He was with Katie Jordan Price, and there is a sex tape with them in, but that doesn't show on Dane. And I think the consensus at the time, I don't know if this was ever proven, but... was that he released that without her knowledge, which is bad, isn't it?
And that is not
that
great.
That is not great. And he's also... he was once in court for racial assault and was found guilty of the assault, but the judge said with his background, which is like, you know, he was in a band with black fellas and that, that he probably wasn't racist. But I think that's quite a leap the judge made there.
Makes it fine. He's also, friends with black people.
Yeah, and he's also done time for battering a woman. So that's Dane Bowers.
Also, fuck Dane Bowers.
Dane Bowers, not a great man, but does do a decent job at this, I think.
A lot of musicians do.
Yeah, that's the problem. And he's a bit of a... he's one of those, you know, celebrity reality people now. He's a bit of a joke figure, really, Dane Bowers. And at this time, I think he was looking to be taken seriously, but this was probably the beginning of the end for him.
Yeah.
So this was released. So Victoria Beckham was one of the Spice Girls.
Yes.
One of the Spice Girls. Posh Spice, she was called, right? Posh Spice. But she was the fifth member to release a single, and all the others had had a number one before this.
Mm.
So you can imagine the pressure. And it's assumed, of course, Victoria Beckham, who in a lot of ways is the most famous one, and she was already obviously married to David Beckham by this point.
Yeah.
She was and still is the most famous one out of the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
It's certainly at this point. Before this, she probably wasn't, like, immediately. But she was also the one who was considered the worst singer out of the Spice Girls.
Yeah, I got lucky.
Which I think is sort of unfair. I think Jerry's comfortably the worst
singer.
Which
Spice Girl were you again?
When I was in the Wannabes, the Spice Girls tribute, I was Mel Scary Spice B.
Right, okay. Yeah. I thought it was, but I didn't want to make assumptions.
Yeah. I always thought Jerry was actually the worst singer. I think Victoria got that reputation because she didn't sing on their first single, so everyone just assumed. But they're both fairly weak singers, right? So there's a lot of effects and distortion on her voice in this.
Yeah.
So this was released. It's an obvious number one. Everyone's like, "Oh, this single's out. Victoria Beckham's going to get a number one now." And bear in mind, like, the week before, Mel C was at number one. So this is, you know, the Spice Girls, they're all bringing out solo stuff. Oh, it's going... we're still Spice crazy as a nation, yeah, as a world. But not to the extent we were in the late 90s. It's died off a bit. They've matured as ladies. They're bringing out solo singles. Clearly, it's a beginning of the end for girl power. No one's doubting that.
Yeah.
But there's still time. Beckham's still going to hit big. She's still going to hit number one. What's this? Ooh, people are hearing this new song. Groove Jet. But that's a familiar voice. Who's that? Where do I know that voice, they're thinking? Is that? Surely it's not the lass from the audience. Now, what do I mean? What do I mean?
What the fuck are you talking about?
So, first off...
Wait, are we getting an underdog story? I fucking love an underdog story.
We have an underdog story.
Oh, come on.
So, The Audience, No Space, were a British indie band for which Sophie Ellis-Bextor was the singer.
Right.
She... It's only partly an underdog story because although Posh Spice was called Posh Spice, she wasn't actually posh. She was pretty middle class.
Yeah.
Whereas Sophie Ellis-Bextor's pretty posh. Like, she's got a family in the industry. Like, her mum was Janet Ellis.
We've seen how big her kitchen is from lockdown. She's doing all right. Me.
So she's actually posher than Victoria Beckham. She's from a television family. Her mum was Janet Ellis, who hosted Blue Peter and loads of other things. And I think her dad was a producer.
You know what, though? That does make us respect her more, because she seems very down-to-earth and respectful.
She does. She seems a sweetheart. Although I've always thought Victoria Beckham's more likable than people think when you see her interviewed.
But, ah, well, you've got to think about your image, though, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and for someone who's so... She's maybe even too concerned about her image, so it makes people like her less than they would.
Mm.
Which is a shame, isn't it? But she'd been in a band, The Audience, who I had the... They brought one album out. And you know what? It's kind of forgotten now, but I did buy it the first week it was out.
Oh, there
was
a lot of, that's nice.
There was a lot of record industry hype around them. A lot of sort of... No, not even record industry, like the music weeklies. Yeah, Melody Makers.
Were all over that shit.
Oh, I loved that, especially Melody Maker. Yeah, it was great writing until it got shit writing. They basically... In about 97, they issued an edict to the writers because they realised stuff with Oasis on the cover was selling much better than everything else. That they weren't allowed to say anything negative about Oasis.
Yeah, I remember you telling us
so
about
all
that,
the good
actually.
Writers left. Great. Just fair enough, innit?
But, yeah, don't blame them.
But they were big on that. And that first album, you know, they had lovely song titles. A Pessimist Is Never Disappointed, such as things like that. And I think it's a good album, you know, I stand by it. But it had a couple of minor hits and then they got dropped by the record label. It wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
She was apparently offered this song. She didn't want to do it. She was sort of like, well, I'm in this different world. I don't listen to dance music at the time. Mm. She's like an indie singer. And then... She sort of chucked it out, apparently, threw it in the bin, and then just got it out at some point later and went, oh, what's that CD? Put it on. Went, oh, no, I'll go with this. And she didn't have a record label or anything. Her management, apparently, dumped her for wanting to record this song. They went, we can't sell you if you do this. It's like, this is a different... And apparently they were, like, very much an indie record label, so they probably couldn't.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they have regrets now. You know, because she went on to have a number of hits after this. Number ones, number twos, all the main numbers.
Yeah. Well, would she have had that if they were still with that?
I don't think she would have. I think she was probably done. To be honest, if this hadn't happened, I think she was probably done.
Well, good on her, Pet. You made the right call. I mean, you don't empty your bins very often, or you're very forgetful. One of the two. But either way...
Yeah, I empty your bins. That's the thing, right? For all of the things... Out of the songs we're doing this week, like, people... We've got these two in the episode we're recording later... are two genuine classics, like, undeniable.
They are.
The thing is, Out of Your Mind is the one that's been in my head. We can get
this
later.
Surprisingly good.
It's right in there. And so we had a chart battle. They were very well ahead. True Steppers and Beckham, they were ahead. And then it just eased during the week. There was a lot of, maybe the last one of these where they were the... acts of visiting record stores and stuff like that and doing live PAs and things, which doesn't really happen now with the charts. They were doing, and then it built through the week and people were getting behind Groovejet, I think, because of the underdog story. But also, I think the consensus was that, and this is something we'll obviously get to later, that it is just better.
Yeah.
That was very much the consensus. And I think they've picked the wrong song for Victoria Beckham, right? What do you think?
I think it's very clear how much work she's got on her voice, like how much editing...
Yeah. Yeah, this is not a... And Sophie Ellis-Bextor's not what you would call a classically great singer.
No.
But she's got a voice that sounds exactly like Sophie. Like, it's very distinctive. You hear it and you go, well, that is her. She sounds... She's got a very marketable voice because it's immediately her when you hear it on the radio.
Yeah, if you just showed us that song, I wouldn't think Posh Spice. I wouldn't think it was anything to do with any of the Spice Girls because it's so far away from both them and her voice is so unrecognisable. It's just...
Yeah, like her voice is, that's it. It is weak, but it's more worryingly for her. It's indistinct, isn't it? Like, this could be any number of people.
You
wouldn't hear her sing and go, oh, that is Victoria Beckham. You wouldn't. And I think, like, this song, I think they made the mistake of trying to make her seem like she is street.
Yeah.
Like, it's not believable, is it? It's not. So you've got
like she wasn't even the street one out of the Spice Girls, you know.
That, she was, I would say, the least street.
Yeah, one that out was her Spice whole Girl. Thing.
Yeah, like that's her selling point. Like for me, you would. The whole point of this, which is a sort of UK garage thing, it's a cheap production. That's what UK garage was like. So Solid Crew and stuff like that. They made their beats on PlayStations. Like the point is, it's kind of homemade. And it's you can do this yourself, and that is not her, is it? Like
no.
For her, you would have a very expensive production. You know, you would have got one of those. Sort of the people who were making stuff for, say, like Britney Spears or something at the time, where they're chucking everything at it and it's maximum. Yeah. Whereas this is a bit like the whole point of UK Garage is that it's quite sparse sounding. There's beats, but there's nothing particularly complicated in there. And I don't think that suits her. I think it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because this probably wouldn't have been a big hit without her, but it was also written off as a song because of her.
Yeah.
Whereas Groove Jet... Oh, mate, what? Are you lying on a beach in Ibiza in 2000?
Oh, it's
you've
nice,
just got
it?
On one, and now...
It's nice. Oh, it's got a down. Bit of funk, you know, some funk elements. It's got some fucking bit of dancey tunes. Oh, it's nice. It's
nice.
It's
a nice bit of business, isn't it? But it, I can't...
I will say, it hasn't got much range, but when you're a song like that, you don't need it.
Nah.
You don't need to have loads of fucking breakdowns, all that sort of shit. It's very steady. You know what it is. You know what you're getting. Just vibe. Take an E. Zone out.
And I think the fact that it's called Groove Jet suggests it's not about... It's about the groove, innit? It's about that steady groove which you got through. It brings you into a mood, you know?
It does. It locks you in.
And it seems more genuine, doesn't it? Like, I know... Which, in a way, is it? Because, like was said, she wasn't listening to this sort of music.
Yeah. She probably just thought it'd do well, especially if she didn't like it on the first listen.
Yeah, and I doubt Victoria Beckham was listening to the More Fire crew.
Yeah.
You know, it feels unlikely. So they're both, in their own way, through the singers, not genuine. But what I will say is, it obviously had a big effect on her, because almost everything she's brought out since has been this, not this sort of thing, but just sort of very disco and stuff now, Sophie Ellis Bextor.
Yeah.
So she's clearly, I doubt she's listening to the stuff she was listening to in 97 now, where, in fairness, I think she was 17 or something.
Yeah, I think a lot of people aren't listening to the stuff they were listening to in 1997.
Whereas, I suspect, and this doesn't make the song better or worse, but I suspect Victoria Beckham's not listening to anything. You know?
Like, yeah, I don't think she keeps up to date with the scene, does she?
I don't think she was ever into music. She was she was into fashion and becoming well known and building a brand.
Yeah, she's not one of the arts that always listens to see what's hot and, like, you know, what new rising stars are popping out the woodwork.
Nah, like, if you listen to. If I had to pick the Spice Girls, I think there's. Mel C definitely still likes music.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Emma would, but mostly like musicals.
Which one's Emma?
Baby Spice.
Right, you're going to have to do it in baby terms here.
I forget that you're of a different generation. Like, they're not chiseled on your brain like they would be.
No.
But the others, I don't think, are that bothered. I can't imagine Ginger Spice, Jerry Halliwell, is listening to anything. She's into yoga and...
she's probably listening to, like, fucking... White Noise and like, you know, Whale Song to get to sleep, that sort of bollocks.
I think she had the traditional breakdown of the massive pop star who then becomes a not massive pop star and now just wears white and is trying to get zen. But I think the whole thing about her is she was very like all over the place, so I think maybe she's trying to cure her brain.
Is that like Russell Brand, how he was mental and now he's too busy talking about higher powers and
like Russell Brand but without the sex crimes?
Yeah
Which did I tell you that some newspaper got in touch with us asking if I knew anything.
Yeah, I did.
Well, the answer is, well, I've heard a lot of things.
Well, there's a lot of stories, which, you know, as anyone would expect, it's Russell Brand.
So shall we go through the charts?
Yeah, come on that note.
This is 20th of August 2000. And by the way, I wonder if this was a different time of year, whether the roles would have been reversed, because it doesn't sound like a summer song, True Step, as it's kind of like... It's almost a bit wintery and sparse, isn't it? Whereas Groove Jet, that's summer as shit, isn't it?
Oh,
It's in August 2000. We all remember August 2000, everyone.
Oh, come on. I was at my peak then.
You were. It's all been downhill. Even in terms of women saying that you're cute in bars. So we've got number one, Groove Jet. Number two, Out of Your Mind. Gonna make it really easy. Fuck me out of your mind. Gonna show you that I'm crazy. It's fucking...
They should have got you instead.
I'm doing a good job on it. Number three, Rock DJ by Robbie Williams. You know Rock DJ?
Oh, fucking course I do, man.
I still, as we all know, I hate Robbie Williams, even though I can't even really remember why. It's too late
just
now,
Robbie.
He's
one of those people, isn't he?
Yeah, he was very annoying and ubiquitous at the time, and now it's too late.
Do you remember why you hate Gary Barlow?
Oh, there's loads of reasons to hate Gary Barlow. Gary Barlow seems like a genuinely terrible individual and bland, whereas Robbie Williams, I'm not genuinely like, he's a bit much. Right, but lots of people I like are a bit much. And I think I could probably forgive him because I hear that he's a decent bloke.
I respect him because I know he helped the singer of my favourite band get through a coke addiction. So that's nice. You know,
but I've heard loads of nice things about him, but it's too late now.
Yeah, now it's too built in you.
Number four, down from number one, Sporty Spice, Melanie C with I Turn to You.
Oh, here we go. They've started spreading out over the charts.
That's it. I think they're still doing the thing where they're like, oh no, we haven't broke up, but yeah, everyone's got us broke up.
Yeah.
You know. Lucky by Britney Spears in at number five. So we've got a heavyweight top five there in terms of like names from the era. Freestyler by Bomb Funk MC. You'll know that one.
I don't know Bomb Funk MC, but I like the MC, fucking name.
I think they're maybe even Finnish, but I think Swedish.
I thought Finnish, I never would have heard the fucking end of it from me Finnish girlfriend. Because they're all periodic as fuck.
They do, and she hates Sweden, and she hates. It's just like, unironically, quite vicious about
it. I think Sweden don't really care about Finland, but people in Finland hate Sweden.
It's
one of
always the case, isn't it? So, Freestyler, you might recognise, it goes, straight from the top of my dome, as I rock a microphone, Freestyler. Do you know that one?
I think I might do, actually.
Another former number one here, big number one, this, 7 Days by Craig David.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah. We had someone book tickets at work called David Craig a couple weeks ago, which I really liked.
I know who he is. He's on the Patreon. Hiya, David.
Hello, David. How are you doing? I fucking love your name, mate.
It only just occurred to me he was called David Craig because he goes by Davey.
We've also had Janet Jackson pop in, which is more on the nose, but also not her.
Janet Jackson at number 9 in the charts this week. Does it really matter?
Oi, David, can you come in with Janet Jackson? Can we find out and pay us up and just come see a show together?
He does bring songs out, everyone. So check them out if you want.
Do it, mate.
So number 10, a really massive hit here, The Real Slim Shady by Eminem.
Nice.
Then we've got Life is a Roller Coaster by Ronan Keaton. I once worked in a job knocking door to door for Gas and Electric, where one day in the van on the way to do it, there was a genuine argument between some of them over who was the best out of Elvis Presley and Ronan Keaton. And I thought, I can't stay here. Like, I don't even love Elvis, but come on.
That's fucking great.
We'll just in terms of highlights going down, we've got, I say highlights, We Will Rock You by Five with and Queen. Which I do love. I love any time a pop act covers Queen because it pisses off people who like Queen.
Yeah.
Jumpin' by Destiny's Child and, Take a Look Around, the theme from Mission Impossible 2 by Limp Bizkit. At number 17.
Oh, brilliant.
Now I know why you want to hate me. Which is...
It blows my mind that people genuinely love Limp Bizkit. Mental.
People have forgotten. It's the same thing with Queen, that people used to really hate them, and then suddenly they've been in the public's eyes. They go, oh no, they're unironically great.
They did UK shows last month, I think it was. And they've been rescheduled a few times, and I know people who are going to my post like, oh, finally seeing Limp Bizkit, and they posted loads of videos, and it was a packed out arena, and I just don't fucking understand, like, other than Roland, what are you going to enjoy, you know what I mean, like, it's, I don't get it,
careful of nostalgia from your youth, because it makes you stupid,
fucking wild, isn't
it? This song I do have fond memories of, actually, but only because it was, when I started wrestling, it was my friend Superfly Billy Graham's entrance music.
It is Limp Bizkit are a very entrance music band.
And he would just come out and go, fuck off.
Good.
And then 18, widely regarded, I think, as the greatest UK garage track, if anyone wants to do a deep dive, which is Battle by Wookie. And then 19, From Memes, Darude with Sandstorm.
Oh, that's Finnish.
Yeah.
That's
what is it?
It is, yeah. Darude's Finnish.
Wow. I did not know that.
Aye.
Then we have got at 21 is Breathless by The Cause. You know The Cause?
I don't know.
Three Irish sisters. Very beautiful.
Oh, well, now
Irish
you say
sister.
That. Yeah, I had them last week. So.
Brilliant. And the drummer, Jim, who is a massive, massive conspiracy theorist and has been for years. Check out Jim Core's website one time. Feel sad.
All right, brilliant.
But how exciting. If you don't know how it's spelled, their surname, and you hear there's an Irish band called The Cause, There's no way they're not hardcore punk, is it?
Yeah, but it'd have to be.
C-O-R-R-S, and it's quite easy listening.
Oh, yes, you know what? I do know them.
Oxygen by JJ72 in at 23, who were another band. Heavily hyped by NME, and the difference for me was always, if the NME heavily hyped them, probably wouldn't like them as much.
Yeah.
If Melody Maker liked them, they're going to be a bit sparkly and weird. Got a Telly by Samantha Mumba, do you know?
I think it was
a number two hit. She was one of the many people who was going to be a huge star, and then it never really happened.
It's a shame when that happens, isn't it?
Yeah, it was just... But some people just seem obvious. They walk out and tell you, and you go, oh, she's going to be around forever. And then she just fucking isn't. 27 is Californication by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which obviously nobody likes.
Bloody love California, those guys.
I told you about the time I moved into a house in Leggett, and I took the wallpaper off, and under it someone had written, Red Hot Chili Peppers are dead groovy.
Yes, I forgot about that. Fuck. When I was in California a month ago now, along Venice Beach, someone had spray painted a big mural to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and it was like all of them.
Imagine taking the Red Hot Chili Peppers seriously.
Yeah, it's mad. A lot of the street artists had like pictures of the Red Hot Chili Peppers next to them as like, you know, showcases of the work. There was a lot of those about. So California loves the Red Hot Chili Peppers as much as the Red Hot Chili Peppers love California.
Nice for them, because they want it.
Yeah, maybe we just don't get it.
At 28, Try Again by Aaliyah, which I think might have been posthumous after a sad plane crash. And at 29, Reach by S Club 7, which was not posthumous, but rest in peace, Paul.
S Club 6.
Queens of the Stone Age at 31, and It Feels So Good by Sonic at 32. Babylon by David Gray and Yellow by Coldplay. My word, big hits. Bland hits there.
I never get the Coldplay hype. Like, I don't even hate them, you know, as like it's a joke to hate Coldplay now. I think they've got fine songs, but I don't think they're this incredible powerhouse that people make them out to be.
Do people think that, though? I feel like people mostly dislike them.
Nah, like, they're doing massive stadiums and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I know they're very popular.
And everything, and it's, I just don't get it.
But you always get bands like that, though, for some reason, who are massive, but nobody ever likes.
I've seen more people these days now enjoy Coldplay than I did, you know, a few years ago when it was a lot cooler to dislike them.
That's the problem. Once something's been around for longer, people sort of go, oh no, they must be good. And you go, no, they're actually not.
People don't even slag off Nickelback as much as they used to,
do they? They're bored of it. Yeah. They go, well, just let them get on with it. Which I think is probably the healthy
way to live, but it's not as fun, is it?
I Can Only Disappoint You by Manson at 39. I did love Manson. They were one of those bands who were lumped in with Britpop, but actually weren't really, and they were more interesting. Again, the lead singers turned out to be dodgy as fuck. But that's life, innit?
Sure.
And at number 40, the other big, widely respected UK garage hit, Sincere by MJ Cole. So we're at the height of UK garage right now, lads.
Oh, yeah.
Which is probably why Victoria Beckham has went, get me on that.
That's why I popped out. I wanted to be a part of this scene, but then it died.
You wanted to be hacking. Yeah. It wasn't long-lasting, God bless it, but it had a wide-lasting influence. And then at number 41, which on the Patreon, patreon.com/feltnout, which is where we'll be discussing this, which is, so we'd always discuss the song that got number 41. In the hope it's obscure, this one not especially obscure, we're going to be listening to and discussing Summer of Love by Steps.
Oh, we'll see you there, David. We'll see you there.
By Steps. So all that remains. And I thought I was sure on this. I'm less sure. We're going to decide in a moment which of these songs takes the coveted number one spot. Now, remember, if both of us say different ones, then the current number one, Groove Jet by Spiller and Sophie Ellis-Bextor, remains at number one. It has to be a consensus.
Yeah.
If we both go for Victoria Beckham's hit, then that is the new number one, and Sophie Ellis-Bextor never had this number one. But it would mean that Victoria Beckham did have a number one, because she never did, and all of her mates did.
Oh.
Although she had loads with the Spice Girls, to be fair.
Yeah, but it's not the same, is it?
So, on three, we're going to say either Bextor or Posh. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And remember, concentrate on this one. Don't accidentally say David Cassidy like last time. Because I'm afraid we can only accept your first answer.
All right, come on.
One, two, three.
Bextor!
Sorry, Posh, we like your song more than we thought we would.
We do. It's a lot better than it was the first 10 seconds I put it on. I was like, oh, this is going to be shit, but I fucking quickly got into it.
I feel like you did a good job, but we also think you're out of your mind. That's what we also think. Come to patreon.com/feltnout, where we'll be talking about Steps.
The following is a Feltnout production. To find out more, visit feltnout.co.uk.